Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening we'll talk about Nile water issues. And with us tonight is Umar Julius of the Sudan Tribune. He's joining us by phone from South Sudan. Julius, are you there? I think we don't have Umar now. We also have Aregu Bale. He's the development editor at the Ethiopian Herald. He joins us by phone from Addis Ababa. Hello, Mr. Aregu.
Hello. Yes.
Are you there? Hello?
Yes, yeah.
Yes, good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
How is Addis Ababa?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, but sometimes it's kind of shaky.
Yes. We're also joined by, we have Fred Omulo, who is of the Kenyan newspaper, The Standard. Fred, are you there?
Yes, Julius, I am here and I can hear you very clearly.
That's very good. That's why I like Kenya. How is the Kisumu today?
Kisumu is okay. It's raining like no one's business. I'm even stuck in the office.
And since we're going to be talking about Nile water, that's a very good sign.
No problem, Julius. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you very much. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. As I said, our topic tonight is going to be Nile water issues. Let me begin in Addis Ababa. Aregu can hear me clearly, your line was a bit shaky. First of all, both of you understand, attended recently a training on the Nile water river issues. Your general impression of what that training, Aregu?
Yeah, my general impression is very good. It was really an eye-opening training. I have learned a lot of things, facts about the Nile, which we don't know before, which I personally didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very good opportunity also to exchange views and ideas with journalists from the basic countries.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, it was a very good training, and I would like to thank VOA and NDI for organizing this. It's a very important event.
I see. Fred, your general view of that training?
My general view of that training was, first of all, it was an eye-opener because the Nile Basin issues regarding the River Nile as well as all the tributaries and the tributary basins are often downplayed in the media around Eastern Africa as a whole. And this is a very critical thing that actually could ignite a lot of political as well as ecological chaos in future, if not handled well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting there the whole time. It was almost about 5-6 days. And I'm just wondering, where did we miss this story? I've been in media for almost a decade, and I have always downplayed this thing myself.
Mm-hmm.
But the mainstream media in Kenya is also downplaying this whole thing. They think it's a problem that is only affecting probably Egypt and at most Ethiopia, but it's actually something that involves all of us in the whole Nile Basin, 11 countries.
Yes, it's good you raised that point because clean, safe drinking water is scarce, and today almost 1 billion people in the developing world don't have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, we spend a lot of time struggling to gather water, and the waterborne diseases limits people's potential. All these issues were raised in that training. But in your area there, do the people themselves realize what's going on, or maybe the media need to do more?
I think as a whole, the media and in general, the experts in the field of environmental management as well as just water management are doing very, very little to address this problem. And it translates, it actually cascades into the political arena where issues affecting the lake, Lake Victoria, issues affecting the tributaries of the rivers that go into Lake Victoria, as well as other rivers and lakes in the Eastern African region. It cascades into the political spectrum where you never hear anyone discussing this. So you have a situation, for example, here in Kenya, where issues affecting Lake Victoria and the Nile Basin Initiative as a whole are completely confined to a very small department within the Water Ministry here in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something that affects almost 300-400 million Africans.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So as a journalist, I just have to confess here, I just have to admit here in front of the whole world, we have failed and we need to do more.
I see. Ms. Arego, how is it like in Ethiopia? Do the common man on the street, do the people in the villages appreciate this problem?
Recently it has become an issue, a very serious issue. Especially in relation to the building of the Grand Renaissance Dam and issues related with it. So now the media has, well, previously, in fact, the issue of the Nile was not that much an interesting topic for the media to discuss. It was after the launch of the Grand Renaissance Dam. And that media has started reporting about the Nile. And now it seems that the public has realized, somehow, has realized that the issue of the Nile is a regional problem, and it's also a problem that affects Ethiopia. So environmental issues around the Nile have become an issue of concern. Well, predominantly the stories about the Nile are related to the Grand Renaissance Dam, but when compared to what we used to hear from the media in the past, now we have, the public and the media have started to appreciate problems around the Nile River.
Yes, talking about the dam, they are talking about the Renaissance Dam in Ethiopia. Yesterday, the water and irrigation ministers of Egypt, Ethiopia, and Sudan met in Cairo and sort of reached some agreement, although they came out with conflicting statements. What are you hearing from Addis Ababa about this meeting and the dam?
Yeah, the news that's coming out from the negotiation is not much detailed, of course, like you said, but they were saying that there is development. I mean, for the past months, there was sort of dead note, but now at least there is some level of understanding, although they disagree with some details, but there is development at least in the negotiation aspect. That's what I was hearing from the news here.
I see. Fred, following up on that issue by our colleague in Addis Arego, this was a negotiation between Ethiopia, Sudan, and Egypt. Did you find it odd that these negotiations are going on between just the three countries without involving the larger Nile Basin Initiative members?
Of course, I found it extremely odd. I found it extremely odd. On the one hand, you have a river that is serving almost 100% of Egypt's water demands that flows from 10 other countries, and you have only two of them sitting there. The problem I've, just in my personal reflections, the problem I identified here is that Egypt is very comfortable with the 1929-1959 agreements. And the 1929 and 1959 agreements between initially with Sudan and then later with Ethiopia, the problem with those agreements is that they were premised on a fallacy. The fallacy was that the Nile originates from the Victoria, Lake Victoria, right? The Lake Victoria only contributes 15% of the Nile waters. 85% comes from Ethiopia and other tributaries in that vicinity. So this is an ecological, it's a very complex ecological and environmental resource that they have there that involves so many other countries. Mm-hmm. Right now we have several dams coming up in Uganda, leave alone Ethiopia. We have several dams coming up in Uganda. Burundi and Rwanda are coming up economically. Kenya is only starting to realize the importance of Lake Victoria. Soon they'll start exploiting it. If you make an agreement that only involves these three people who are your neighbors, and you ignore, you forget that there are other people who are part of this whole puzzle, then you risk having a problem 10 years down the line, mm-hmm. 20 years down the line, where these other countries have growing populations, they have growing demands, and they want to exploit these resources. What then do you do? Mm-hmm. Do you start including them piecemeal? And that is the way of the politicians. You see, the experts can come up with a very holistic way. The experts in Egypt, I've met some of them. They are wonderful. They understand the problem. The experts in Ethiopia, I've met several of them. They understand the problem. But the politicians in several of these countries, even my own Kenya, they don't understand the magnitude, the gravity of this whole problem. And so they deal with this problem piecemeal. They only want to deal with what will satisfy their voters, and they are thinking about the next election, and they're thinking about short-term benefits and advantages to themselves and probably to their countries, but they don't look at the bigger picture.
I see.
So I found that very, very odd.
Mm. Arego, what do you think about that, that the only three members of the bigger region are participating in these negotiations? That's one. Two, I want you to follow up on his point there, Fred's point about the general public, the politicians, not being at par, not realizing the gravity of these issues. Do the people in Ethiopia understand the complexities that are involved in this?
Sorry, can we get the second question?
You first ask the first question. Okay. Do you find it also odd that it's only you, Ethiopia, Egypt, and Sudan negotiating about this dam without involving the other countries?
Yeah. So you want me to reflect on the first question?
Yes, yeah. You can go with the first question first. Would it have been better to involve everybody in the region other than negotiating with just Egypt and Sudan?
I think it would have been better if the issue was discussed among all the basin countries. But by the very fact that Ethiopia is the major contributor of the Nile, and Egypt is a major beneficiary of the water, the fourth, even Sudan, then it has become an issue for the three countries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the negotiation, the CFA, did not materialize yet.
Mm-hmm.
Had it been an issue of the basin countries, I mean, they could have come with some solution, but unfortunately it is now being an issue of the three countries. I hope some understanding will be reached at someday.
Okay. Gentlemen, let's take a short break. We'll come back and continue our discussion of the Nile water issues after this very short break. Please don't go away.
African Music Mix.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. North to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best. Tune in from 0 to 300 hours UTC and from 11 to 1300 hours UTC every single day on The Voice of America.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Our topic tonight is Nile water issues. Our panelists are Arego Bale, development editor at the Ethiopian Herald in Addis Ababa. We were supposed to have had Kevin Omolo, senior correspondent at the Standard Nation Group, media group, but the lines let us down. Also, Uma Julius was supposed to be with us from the Sudan Tribune, but also, unfortunately, we couldn't reach him. We have Fred Omolo of the Kenyan newspaper, The Standard, and I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio 9 in Washington. So, gentlemen, we all appreciate, many people appreciate the importance of the Nile and the issue of water, but there are people, analysts, who are saying the Nile and the basin and the surrounding areas are being abused. Deforestation, destroying wetlands. People seem not to care that this is a resource that we all need and that it should be properly protected. Let me begin in Kisumu with my friend Fred. How serious is the issue of the abuse of that resource?
Okay, I'm speaking basically from Lake Victoria. We in Kisumu is the biggest city on the shores of Lake Victoria. We are in Kenya, on the western side of Kenya. And we have a very small portion of the lake, about 7%. The largest portion is in Tanzania, as well as Uganda. Uganda has about 40%, and Tanzania has about 50%. Now, there are about 10 rivers that flow into this Lake Victoria from the Kenyan side. And all these 10 rivers flow from heavily industrialized or agriculturalized regions within Kenya. So you have rivers that come from places like Nandi County, Kericho County, and Siaya County. And you have a lot of fishing, you have a lot of sand harvesting, and you have a lot of industries, for example, here in Kisumu. It's interesting you bring this up because just last week, we had a problem here when the county government and the National Environmental Management Authorities and the maritime authorities who basically manage the movements that happen within the lake, the vessels that operate within the lake from the Kenyan side, they came together and they went down to the shore of Lake Victoria here in Kisumu to stop a lot of businesses that go on there that pollute the lake. Now, we have a lot of scenic restaurants, very beautiful. A lot of tourists like coming here. But next to these restaurants, you have car washes. So people just drive their cars there, and as they eat their fish that has been caught in the lake, they have their cars being washed right next to the lake. And these guys, it involves a lot of pollution because all sorts of vehicles come here, trucks, small cars, private cars, as well as public service vehicles. And these people who wash these cars, they started a protest, and they blocked a highway here, a major highway here in Kisumu, and they are burning tires and complaining and saying, hey, why are you preventing us from earning our livelihood, yet we can count about 5 to 10 different industries just right next to us that are dumping their waste, dumping their refuse directly into the river? We can name sewerage manager authorities here in Kisumu who dump raw sewage directly into the lake, and it happens. And I've actually done a couple of stories about this. You can check them out on YouTube. And you have a lot of powerful people who own large industries, large businesses, right next to the lake as well as upstream. You have a lot of companies that supply farmers with pesticides and fertilizers, and a lot of this runoff goes off into the rivers that form the tributaries, which flow right into Lake Victoria. So we have a very, very tough task ahead of us as people who contribute to the Nile, as well as people who are in the Lake Basin region in terms of managing pollution. There's a lot of abuse. And then there are these simple people who just harvest sand, right? Someone just goes there, they harvest sand for construction. You probably heard from where you sit that there's a big real estate boom in the whole of Kenya right now, actually, because the middle class is growing. So people are building apartments, people are building malls, etc. And where do they get the sand? They get this sand right next to large water bodies like Lake Victoria. They harvest the sand from there. And this causes a lot of environmental damage, right? The management for this thing cannot happen from our level, from our own cocoon in our own country. This has to be transnational. Mm-hmm. That's what I think from what I've observed.
I see. Arego, do you want to add on that? How is the situation like in Ethiopia? Are people cautious that they shouldn't destroy this vital resource? Are they building on the wetlands? Are they, what's the situation like over there?
In Ethiopia, the deforestation was the major, and still is a major problem. As we all know, the Blue Nile starts its journey from the highlands, and these highlands are vulnerable to all kinds of deforestation and land degradation. And the islands are also highly populated areas, agrarian society. So all these have contributed to the deterioration of the natural environment. And every rainy season, the River Nile carries lots of soil, lots of sediment from Ethiopia. And the erosion problem and the forest erosion problem is very serious, very serious, particularly where in the area where the Blue Nile starts and goes all the way. Near those areas are very much affected. In fact, the past, since the launch of the dam, there have been some campaigns at national level. That's the rehabilitation work is going on since every year, that is aimed at saving the land degradation and reclaiming the degraded forests. So somehow the start of the dam has mobilized the public to do this rehabilitation work.
I see.
But given the seriousness of the problem, I don't think that would be enough. Still, the degradation and erosion will go on.
I see.
In fact, part of the project, when the NBI was initiated, one of the projects was natural resource development, sort of rehabilitation work, and because of this dam, I think somehow this has not been implemented. But it's a very serious problem, and it requires regional attention. This is something that countries at every level can do to protect the river from being diminished.
Yes. Actually, there are other analysts who have said even there's now a serious threat of the scramble for Africa as far as land is concerned, where affluent countries are rushing to Africa and acquiring big chunks of fertile land to grow crops for their own countries. But that's a topic for another time. As we wind down our program, beginning with the Fred in Kisumu, some people have argued that you can't do much to protect, to sustain the River Nile without a cohesive political will. Do you see that will there? Because some people are saying each country is on its own, doing its own things.
Of course, we have to start with the political will. That's the problem with Africa. We all have this problem that everything begins and starts with the politicians. Even when they don't understand an issue, they want to be the first and the last to comment, to determine, to decide the direction that developments take. So the political will has to be there for us to move forward. However, for a country that is in the receiving end of the problems upstream, like Egypt, I probably think that their politicians, if they took an active and informed role, can convince the West Nile Basin countries to come up with a very cohesive, comprehensive, and workable agreement. However, on the top level, or should I say at the core of this whole movement, should be the experts. Because as Africans, we have abandoned decision-making, abandoned development and progress to politicians. Politicians are not experts in these things. They don't even have the time to master and understand all these things. It's the experts in the various fields, the water engineers, the environmental experts and the engineers, all these people, they need to step up and take a more active role. Once they take up a more active role, they can inform the politicians. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, I think what will save the Nile and bring about sustainable development as well as exploitation of this resource is the Nile Basin Initiative. It hasn't gone far, but it is taking baby steps, and it is one of the best chances we have at progress and at something workable in future.
I see. Unfortunately, we have run out of time, and you have the last word, Fred. That wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Arego Bale, Development Editor at the Ethiopian Herald. Arego, thanks very much for being on the program.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Judy.
And thank you, my friend Fred Omolo of the Kenyan newspaper, The Standard. Our producer has been Kwame Ofori, and the engineer tonight was Michael Dubinsky. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any part of this program or just want to listen to it again, just go to our main website, click on Programs, scroll down to Reporters Roundtable, and you can listen to the whole program again. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@vonnews.com. Thanks for tuning in, and until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.